Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, December 26, 2018, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are in forward to the second edition on page XIX. Starting with the third paragraph at the bottom of that page, while the internal difficulties. Reading through two paragraphs today, which ends with further on in this book. Further on in this book. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Kathy R., 12 Traditions, Marissa E. Reading the text today and being support, Eileen M., Robin P., and Leslie M. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting is 12338. That would be for Tuesday, December 25th, 2018, 10 a.m. That's 12,338. And for the meeting this morning, the Big Book Study meeting this morning, that would be their 7 a.m. time, Wednesday, December 26th, 2018, 12345. 12,345, the 7 a.m. meeting this morning. Our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Kathy R. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Kathy R. I'm calling in from Florida. Sober and abstinent and grateful for these 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you. That was Kathy R. Thank you so much for that. I will now ask Marissa E. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, my fellows. This is Marissa E. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater outside Los Angeles. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lets problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Marissa E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And if you would please press star 1 rather than just the mute on your own phone line, that helps with technology interruptions. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page XIX, forward to the second edition. We're starting with the third paragraph, reading through two paragraphs today. That starts with while the internal difficulties of our adolescence and ends with further on in this book. And I will ask Eileen M. to please read those two paragraphs and unpack those for us today. Good morning, Eileen. Star 1 for you, please.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in frigid New Hampshire. While the internal difficulties of our adolescent period were being ironed out, public acceptance of AA grew by leaps and bounds. For this, there were two principal reasons: the large number of recoveries and reunited homes. These made their impressions everywhere. Of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried, 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. Other thousands came to a few AA meetings and at first decided they didn't want the program. But great numbers of these, about 2 out of 3, began to return as time passed. Another reason for the wide acceptance of AA was the ministration of friends, friends in medicine, religion, and the press, together with innumerable others who became our able and persistent advocates. Without such support, AA could have made only the slowest progress. Some of the recommendations of AA's early medical and religious friends will be found further on in this book. Oh, that was wonderful. So I'm Eileen M., and I'm so glad to be studying these forewords because I've never read them before with anyone. You know, I usually just go straight to page 1, you know, the doctor's opinion. And it's just really great to be studying them. And, I was reflecting back over, you know, how I found this vision meeting almost 3 years ago. And that completely changed my life because, you know, the last, like, or I should say the previous, you know, 20 plus years that I had been in OA, I got this very diluted message over the years that, you know, all you needed to do was go to as many meetings as you could and to do all the tools, you know, which I did. I took those suggestions very seriously. And, you know, I worked very hard at the tools and tried to get to all these meetings. And, you know, what that gave me was this, like, white-knuckling abstinence. You know, I had periods of this white-knuckling abstinence followed by periods of relapse. You know, but I always kept coming back. And I'm so grateful for that because I so desperately wanted to recover. I never left the program. And, you know, the other thing I was thinking is that this, you know, time of year being the holidays is so difficult for so many people. And this is when we get the most newcomers in our face-to-face meetings. And, you know, we have like these newcomer greeters and people will call these people and welcome them. And I don't see them come back though. You know, sometimes people will come for maybe, you know, 4 to 6 meetings, but we don't see them again. We also see a lot of, you know, returning people that we haven't seen for years, but they also don't really come back, you know, on a regular basis. And, you know, I had this one woman say to me one time, she said, you know, Eileen, this is like, working the program is like a full-time job, and I already have a full-time job. And I remember feeling like that. You know, I had a full-time job, and I was like, there's no way I can do all this. But, you know, I had to get desperate enough to really want the recovery. And I'm so glad that I did. And, you know, that willingness had to come from within. I think for me, it's very hard to pray for willingness. I think it really has to come from inside myself, which it did. And I'm just so grateful to have found the solution. So with that, I pass. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Thank you, Eileen M. The floor is now open for additional folks to comment on those two paragraphs, the bottom of XIX, paragraph 3, reading through two paragraphs today. Who would like to comment their experience on those two paragraphs?
Ginger C.
Hi, Ginger.
Dana K.
Dana.
Roz G.
Hi, Roz.
Thank you.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, let's go Robin with that for now.
Mm-hmm. Shawnee B.
I gotcha. Mm.
Bruce E.
Okay, let's stop with that, Bruce, okay? Ginger C. Dana K. Did I say Dana or is it Donna? Roz G. Robin P. Shawnee B. and Bruce E. Hi, Ginger.
Hi, good morning, Mel, and thank you so much for your service. This is Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And it just floors me to think about these rates of 2018, almost 2019, with the recovery rate being as low as it is, not only in OA, but many other rooms. And what we just read, 50% got recovered, you know, and why did they get recovered? Because they had one book that they were believing in, relying upon, and following it precisely. And so if you're new or you're suffering and you're online, you know, first and foremost, we have to put down the food completely. And then we just follow this work. We read with another recovered person whom the problem has been solved, and we get into action. You know, this program's not what I'm thinking about. It's what I'm doing, moving a muscle and persevering no matter what, because I only have two doors. And I cannot afford to go back to that bite, that greatest lie. So I'm just so grateful for these directions. Yesterday was a really difficult, painful day. And thank God that nothing saves the day like working with another. And it is a design for living in rough going. And that's exactly what I did. I read to two new people on Christmas Day. I never stop. I don't care what holiday, what day it is. My disease never stopped. I can't afford to. And there was such great joy in doing that. And it helped me to get out of me into another. And then the gift, because this one person's been in relapse, doesn't see a way out. And I thought, wow, how cool is this? On Christmas Day, the greatest gift you're giving yourself. You've got your food down for 3 days. And we started reading this book that will save your life. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. Dana K., then Roz G.
Good morning. This is Dana Kay from Missouri, recovered for today. Thank you, Melanie, for your service and a warm welcome to everyone on the line this morning. I'm going to speak today to the first paragraph. And what it was talking about for me personally was that what is the message that I am carrying as a recovered member of OA? So first of all, within the OA community, as I'm on the phone line and listening and working the program, doing the steps each day, you know, connecting with my sponsee, connecting with taking 10 steps, connecting to pray for others in program, you know, am I carrying a message of tolerance and accepting of people where they're at and where they're at on, you know, in their program and where they're at with food? Or am I carrying, you know, a message of, you know, judgment and intolerance? Am I pointing other people to me saying, oh, look at me, I'm so recovered, and yes, I have something you want and I can do it for you? Or am I really pointing others to the purpose that this book was written for, which is to obtain a power greater than themselves, a power of their own understanding that will solve all their problems instead of it being about me? You know, when I talk to people, am I cognizant of where they're at right then in the moment? Or do I kind of judge them for where they should be, where I want them to be? And then do I listen? You know, do I stop talking enough and listen with my heart to hear what they really need to say, and then filter that through my own experience, strength, and hope to share back with them? And I'm really convicted on this morning about, you know, what is the true message I'm carrying today? Would my attitude be seen as attracting a newcomer or one returning from relapse? And I have to tell you all something so wonderful, that when I came back into program after being in a long relapse in 2016, one of the things that encouraged me the most when I got on this line each day was hearing people speak that I had heard, you know, a year and a half before that they were still in program. They were still on the line, and they were still carrying this message of hope. And I thought, oh, my gosh, if some of these people can still be recovered, then, yes, this is possible for me, too. And I also love hearing, you know, new people share on the line. Thank you so much. And I'll just quickly wrap up, because that also, you know, provides hope. I think we can just all share where we're at. And I thank you so much for letting me share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Dana Kay. Roz G., you're up, followed by Robin T.
Good morning, hello. Melanie. Thank you. Thank you. I'm Roz G., a recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles County. And what drew me into what I would like to share about is that the people who came to the first few meetings and decided they didn't want it. And the very first Overeaters Anonymous I went to, probably about 1991, after I had my daughter, and saw a lot of flab around my waist, and asked my friend, is there something for eaters, you know, like with you, with the alcoholics, is there something for eaters? And so I went to an OA meeting here in LA, in the Valley, and all I did was see was a bunch of women in sitting around in a circle and talking. And that, to me, that just seemed pointless, and I don't even remember too much about it, just that I didn't talk, looked, and walked right myself out the door. You know, there was no scales, there was no recipe, there was no food to buy, you know. And what happened, of course, for me is it had to take for me to hit a bottom that I never want to hit again. After eating foods with that I'm not supposed to eat, and getting behind the wheel, and becoming amnesia at the wheel, and not knowing where I was in my own neighborhood. That's the point that I had to come to. I tried to think that, you know, that it was that I wasn't trying hard enough, but there was no trying for that. But you know what? I'm really grateful that it happened. And I heard in the earlier meeting said, you know, a lot of people come in and don't come back. And I've seen that a lot. And then I've also seen, you know, people come in, they'll come for a few meetings, and then you don't see them for a few years, and then they come back, and they're, you know, at their weight that they were or bigger, and they're more desperate. But, you know, that's, for me, I can see that that's where it has to come to. So wherever people are is wherever I'm willing to meet them. And I'm not going to judge anybody because I've had so many relapses to, you know, I can't even count them. And all I know is that I'm going to keep trying one day at a time, every day. Christmas was great. The food didn't call to me, but that was yesterday. So what do? I get up this morning. I listen to the meetings. I do my sponsor call. I eat an abstinent breakfast. And I work this, and I live the steps. That's what I do, one day at a time. And I'm grateful for these forwards. Very good learning here. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. Robin P., you're up. Johnny B. will follow you.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles, soon to be in Florida. And happy holidays, everybody. God bless you. You know, I just love reading the forwards too, because I never used to read them ever. And it's a very powerful reminder to see that 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapse, and among the remainder, those who stayed on showed some improvement. You know, those are great numbers, and they're not that way now. And I believe that part of it is just really single purpose, you know, putting first things first and working the steps quickly, not taking years and years to go through the steps. I think that's a real problem, in my opinion, and I think that it can, for me, it was a deterrent for my recovery the first time. I needed to get to solution, and for me, the solution are the steps, and without them, I cannot recover. So I believe very, very strongly that I need to really live in my steps. And for now, that means living in 10, 11, and 12, and then practicing these principles in all my affairs and sharing my recovery with others, being willing to give away what was so freely given. And, you know, to me, it does take some time, but, oh, my gosh, it gives me back so much time, because I was willing to give so much time to the disease. I would go to any length for the disease. And if I go to half the length I went in my recovery or what I went through in the disease, I'll be in great shape. And I also do believe that it's a process. And, you know, I had to hit bottom. I had to have that gift of desperation to go to any length. And sometimes I still have processes in different areas. I still have letting goes in other areas. And I just let get the process be the process and to trust God. And this book is, and this program is to bring me to a closer relationship with God. So I have a note that says, what can I do that brings me closer to God? And so that's what I'm so grateful for. And God bless all of you in your recoveries. It means so much to me to found these meetings and to be able to say that I'm recovered. It means so much to me. It means everything. I'm so grateful. I just celebrated 3 years of recovery here, and it's a we recovery. You know, I know that the word wellness begins with we, and the word illness begins with I. And I know how to isolate. I know how to be in the disease. Time. What I get to do is just stay focused on this we recovery. Thanks so much. God bless everybody in your recoveries. I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. Shawnee B., you're next. Bruce E. will follow you.
Hi, this is Shawnee B. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I love what I think the second woman that shared said, gratefully recovered for today. And I totally love that, because as I get more and more into recovery, I think that the ego kind of is like, oh, I got this, I'm good. And really, I'm gratefully recovered for today. And so I really appreciate that share. And I hope to use that within my thoughts and my speech and my action to really the humility of just for today. And that, you know, this is, you know, like a borrowed, well, not borrowed, but this is a gift from day to day. And so I just wanted to share, oh my God, I totally lost my train of thought. I don't know if that's ever happened to anyone. Okay, I'm back. I wanted to share on the idea. Sorry, give me one sec. Oh, okay, I'm here. That when I sponsor, so many times, like, we'll get up to step two or step three, and then, you know, I won't hear back from a sponsee, and then, you know, a couple weeks later, a couple months later, I might hear from them. And I've realized from the big book that this disease, what it does is it makes us feel like we don't have this disease. It's like, you're fine. Like, you don't actually have this. You can just do like this diet or this. And so that's why so many of us come to recovery in so much desperation. Even in recovery now for myself, I find sometimes that, you know, my ego will try to find reasons why I don't really need to be here, why I don't really need to sponsor, why I don't really need to 10 steps, why I don't really need to work my program. And I feel blessed that I continuously get on meetings and that I continuously work my program so that I can stay connected to fighting this disease, these disease thoughts. And I really have noticed, I've only been sponsoring for not too long, but I've noticed how hard it is for newcomers to truly commit, to say I'm all in. It's so hard because I think at the core, our disease is that we don't actually need this. So that's pretty tough on newcomers and for everyone each day to really admit to, you know, I am powerless and my life is unmanageable. Anyways, thank you for letting me share and thank you for your service.
Thank you so much, Shawnee B. And well, yeah, thanks. Well, Bruce is getting ready to share. I just wanted to mention, I'm going to open up the lines right after Bruce share for those that want to comment on forward to the second edition, bottom of page XIX, third paragraph. We're reading through two paragraphs today while the internal difficulties, ending with further on in this book, if you want to get prepared for that. Are you all ready, Bruce?
I'm ready. I'm always ready here. And thank you. I'm Bruce. I'm recovered and I'm ready in Southwest Florida. And that's the thing, is that it says that people come into this program by those were two principal, I'll read just a little bit before that. While the internal difficulties of our adolescent period were being ironed out, public acceptance of AA grew by leaps and bounds, just the way I think we're growing. For this, there were two principal reasons, the large numbers of recoveries and reunited homes. So in other words, people see our recovery and then they want it. If they don't see recovery, they're not going to want it, are they? So it says here, large numbers of recoveries. And that leads me to think about what I've heard earlier and what I'm thinking about now, is that what am I carrying to other people? Am I carrying recovery? Am I carrying the message, or am I carrying the mess? If I'm carrying a whole bunch of ego around with me, which I do, and I have to continually surrender that, how can I carry the message if I'm carrying a whole bunch of ego? So I need to let go of the ego, check it in at the door, and come to the meeting and try to be humble. And it says here, of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried, that says really tried, in other words, I'm assuming that means, I'm just assuming it means got a sponsor and started working the steps. 50% got sober at once. wow, that means right away. And the remaining, and at once, and remained that way. In other words, they stayed sober. 25% sobered up after some relapses. Well, that gives us hope for the people that come in. We see that relapse. And we all, I've been there before, many, many relapses for many years. And among the remainder of those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. So, people that are relapsing, there's hope that they will show improvement. Thousands came to a few AA meetings at first, decided they didn't want the program. I've seen thousands, that it seems like thousands. It wouldn't be that many, but it seems like thousands. They didn't, and they decided they didn't want the program, but great numbers of these, so that's a lot of the people that decided they didn't want the program, about two of three began to return as time passed. So two out of three came back, about two-thirds came back. That's a lot that came back. So I can have hope for those that I see come in, walk out. Thank you. And two of three began to return as time passed. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. The lines are now open for further comment on those particular paragraphs today that we're studying. Who would like to comment?
Beatrice O.
Hi, Beatrice.
Good morning.
Press star one if you'd like to comment on those two paragraphs today.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Hang on just one second, Beatrice. I'm going to see if anybody else is going to come in behind you.
Michelle?
Hi, Michelle.
Mia S.
And I heard, who else did I hear?
Joanna.
Michelle. Thought maybe a Mia or something. I'm not sure.
Yes, Mia S.
Yeah, I did. Okay, great. Thanks, Mia.
Joanne B.
And then the Joanne B. Gotcha. Thanks so much. Okay, let's go with that in the interest of time. Beatrice O.
Okay.
Michelle D. E., Mia S., and Joanne B.
Okay, good morning, everyone. This is Beatrice from Los Gatos, California. And I really like this paragraph, and I think that, so I think bottom line is you can't argue with success. And so I think the people who left and didn't come back, or people who left and came back, I think when we're examples of recovery, people want that. But being in this program is really hard for some people. A lot of people don't believe in a God. And so in this program, we say, you know, you can do this, and, you know, and I think it's in another How It Works or something, it says it's a real tall order. So it's a real tall order to concede to our animal self. You know, in the big book, it asks on XXXII, it says, in the doctor's opinion, it says we had to be sold on the ideas on this book. In this book. And then we're asked to believe in a God as we understand him, and we have to surrender. You know, but on page 153, it talks about our own recovery proves that. It proves that we can recover. And in page 47, it talks about the spiritual structure of this program. So when I came in, just relating it to myself, I didn't want to believe I had an allergy, much less a disease. But coming back from this relapse, I had to understand the medical addiction of this program. I had to understand the medical brain chemistry and why I lose control, power, and choice. And I think that's been the big difference for me this time around. I don't think I ever believed that I had an allergy, and that I had the belief that one day, someday, I could control this food if I was only spiritual enough. But I had to understand that I had a medical addiction and I had to understand that my brain, I had these permanent neural pathways in the brain that have changed my brain. And in order for me to believe that I actually have an allergy, and what I have is a hijacking of the brain. And anyway, I'm really grateful. I had an abstinent Christmas, and I'm glad to be on this line. Thank you.
Thank you, Beatrice O. Michelle D.E.
Hi.
You're up
good morning.
Next.
Thank you for great. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you for your service. This is Michelle L. in Delaware. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater, and I'm really appreciating what I'm hearing this morning and the compassion from others who are sharing about the meeting people where they are and carrying a message, and I'm hearing that message. My sponsor keeps telling me, has said to me a few times, elevate your recovery. And there's seemingly unimportant decisions that I make that can take me back into the food and back into the disease. And my pride and my ego definitely get in the way and start to separate, tell me I'm different and separate, and it's really not that bad. And many, many other lies that keep me tethered, keep me in a place where I am doing the white knuckling. And I'm seeing this pattern. I make a good beginning, like in Jim's story, but then I'm failing to, I don't like being uncomfortable. And my brain thinks food's going to be a solution. And it never is. It never is. So yesterday was a really, really hard day. And I didn't remain abstinent by the end of the day. And I heard someone else share how horrible and sucky yesterday was for someone else on the line, and that she was abstinent and she was helping others and she was useful and productive. And it's how I wanted to feel. It's how I wanted to show up, but I didn't get there. So today is a new day, and I'm in this program. I'm in this fellowship. I listen a lot, and I don't share because, again, my disease is telling me I don't have a lot to offer. But I wanted to claim my seat and express my gratitude for the message, the clear message. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Michelle D.E. Mia S., followed by Joanne B. Hi, Mia.
Hi, this is Joanne B.
Hello.
From Texas. Oh,
I'm
sorry.
Mia first and then Joanne B. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sorry.
Hi. Thank you. It's Mia. And I'm gratefully recovering from compulsive overeating. And I'm just trying to ask higher power to bring the words through that need to come through. I'm just, I'm really grateful. I came into this program because I had an awakening in my awareness that this was an addiction. So that was the first thing that happened. And something that happened before even that, before I got into recovery, I did awaken to the spiritual path, but simply the spiritual path was not bringing relief from the disease. But so then higher power brought that awareness, oh, this is an addiction. So then I sought out Overeaters Anonymous. And I also, though, I guess I wasn't, there was too much fear or something. I wasn't ready to put down the false medication of the food. But I went to some other 12-step programs that were more related to like family patterns. And for some reason, you know, I had repressed all emotion. And in those meetings, for some reason, I started, the nature of the meetings helped me to start releasing my story and my emotions. And so that was helpful. And then I continued being drawn to, you know, the OA recovery. And it wasn't me, like nobody said, you know, put down the food and work the steps. Higher power brought the ability to let go of using the food. And simultaneously, I was delving into the steps or being introduced to the steps. So I'm very grateful for that. But I did have times of relapse, and I did have times where I pulled away from the program because I was just not capable of facing what was coming up. But thankfully, at a certain point, I absolutely was brought back into the program by my higher power. And that was about 14 years ago. And I really was ready to fully embrace it. And, you know, I knew to get a sponsor and focus on the steps. And the tools, I love the tools. Thank you. The tools are there for me to work the steps, to help me work the steps. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Mia S. Joanne B., you're going to be next, but I want to mention that there's going to be room for a couple more people to share on those two paragraphs that we are studying today on XIX, starting with the third paragraph. So after Joanne shares, we might have room for two more. Hey, Joanne, it is your turn. Thank you.
Thank you. Me, I'm sorry to interrupt you. My name is Joanne B. I am recovered one day at a time by God's grace. And I want to thank everyone every day that you get on this line and you do different services. And sometimes I just sit, you know, soaking up everything that's being said. And so thank you very much. I was looking at another reason for the wide acceptance of AA was the ministration of friends in medicine, religion, and the press, et cetera. And I was thinking, well, what does ministration mean? And it says that it means the provision of assistance or care. And so the help of these people are who, you know, is what made it easier for AA to grow was having the help of their medical and pastoral members of their society, their communities. And I think about OA, and in my area, we don't have OA, and my medical community really doesn't, I don't know, just kind of rolls their eyes. And so what I think about is, it finally clicked the other day that I needed to recover. I didn't understand what people were talking about when they said that, and all this last 20 months, I've been, you know, going from the pink cloud and coming down and realizing there has to be a way to share this message, and without being so overly zealous that I turn people away, and then I heard my fellows say that recover. That's the most important thing you can do, and because of the attraction. And anyway, I hope to be useful that way in my community, and again to learn better ways to share this message of hope. And with that, thank you again for your services, and with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Joanne B. Looks like we have time for two more folks to share on those two paragraphs, if you would like.
Saritel.
Hi, Saritel.
Patty T.
And Patty T. Let's work on those two. Thanks so much. Sarit, you're first. Good morning.
Okay. Thank you so much, Melanie, for your service. I just want to take a quick moment to share how recovery is really just a day at a time, and the reason why it's been so profound and has affected so many people and such a wide variety of suffering members is because it works. It's because it works, and it's amazing that you can have the variety of suffering alcoholics, like it says in the foreword. And what I really want to share is that, you know, from my own experience, I don't know how other people live with resentments and fears and dishonesties. This program has helped me uncover so many of my fears and my lies that I'm living with on a daily basis that I encounter with. And what's so eye-opening is that when I share with members how I'm reacting in a negative defect, a character defect, that we then go to the root of the problem and we see where the fears and the lies are causing me to react this way. And so that awareness is the first step. And then to ask God to remove these defects of character, I mean, it's incredible. There's hope for one woman, you know, me, who interacts as a wife and has relationships with children and employees and employers and carpools and schools, and all these relationships are getting impacted for the positive through the working of these steps. And so it works when we work it, and that's it's powerful to me that I'm becoming so much more aware of where these defects have driven me, or where my fears and lies have driven me to act in my defects of character, and that now there's a solution to react a different way, to respond to life in a different way. And thank you, God, for a way. Thank you, God. I mean, where would I be if I wouldn't have uncovered and discovered and discarded all these defects of character? And it really is the emotion trumps intellect. There's so much of the emotion here that creates that mental obsession. And once the food is down, it's just like the onion layers just keep on getting peeled and peeled. And I heard just yesterday quickly from my sponsor that when we're like a candle, and as we work the steps, all the wax and the crust that's been covering the flame, we peel off the crusts of the flame, and so that the flame can burst forth. And that's the flame is who God intended us to be. Thank you. And when we work the steps, we're actually peeling away at the crusts that are blocking us and from being who God intended us to be. With that, I pass. Thank you. Thank you for OA.
Thank you, Sarit. Oh. Mm-hmm. Patty T, there's 2 minutes for you. You're next.
Hi, this is Patty T from Southern California. I recovered today by the grace of God. Happy December 26th to everyone. You know, that first line where it says, while the internal difficulties of our adolescent period were being ironed out, public acceptance of AA grew by leaps and bounds. And, you know, for me, that is how, you know, when I work the traditions, you know, they are meant for me as much personally as they are for the group, you know. As my, you know, adolescence of recovery is being ironed out, you know, I begin to become more publicly acceptable, you know, not only in the eyes of others, but in my own eyes. You know, I begin to be able to see my character defects and not despise myself for them, but have an acceptance and a compassion for them and understand that, you know, just like I was unable to let go of the food on my own, I turn those over to my higher power as well. And part of doing that is doing that tip step every day and looking at, you know, those issues that keep coming up, and that one day at a time I can send that tip step to my sponsor or another fellow or whomever, and just admit that, you know, my self-centeredness is in my way, or my selfishness has got me by the throat, and, you know, all of these things, and then I'm cleared of it, just right then.
Time.
And that's it. And thanks for letting me share. Bye.
Thank you very much, Patty, and thank you to everyone that shared this morning, and especially those that provided service so this meeting could be here and structured the way that it is. Very grateful for that. We're going to start the wrap-up portion of our recorded piece of this meeting, but please stay tuned for the next 10 minutes while we greet some newcomers, etc. We will close now with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, and if you would, please follow that with me with a serenity prayer. Robin P., would you please read? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thanks. Yep, this is Robin P., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.